This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome all to K-Drama School. I'm your host, Grace Jung, and class is now in session. It's like 7 minutes long, and I filmed just killing it with the fish, and my Wisconsin trout fishing boyfriend couldn't catch a single salty striped bass. So it was tough, but a very, very nice man gave us 2 bags of striped sea bass to take home. So I tried it tonight, and oh my God, let me tell you, it tastes amazing. So if you ever spend $130 to go out to sea only to throw up for 4 hours and not catch any fish, it will still be worth your while, because 2 bags of sea bass, that's easily like $260 at a restaurant. So there's that to consider. I had my 20th year high school reunion. Yeah, 20th year. Like, I'm an old hag, but yeah, 20th year high school reunion. I went. This is not something I would ever go to. I didn't even go to my high school prom. I didn't go to a single high school dance. Why would I go to this? I went because my one friend from middle school and high school said to me, she was like, you have to go. I'm going. You have to go. So I was like, fine, I'll go. I went, and it was pleasantly surprising. I had a really good time. I caught up with some people that I didn't even realize I had missed, you know, and it was nice talking to them. It was nice catching up with them. We just bonded over this and that, and it was a wonderful time. So if you had a tough high school and you hated most of the people you went to school with, go to the reunion. You might actually realize that a lot of the people that you hated back then are still losers. And the people that you thought good thoughts about, they're still cool. I saw this overpopulation of deer in my neighborhood, like herds of deer. I'm talking like 5 to 8 deer at a time, like in a group running through the woods or on the streets. They're all over the place. And my partner was just like, man, I wish I brought my bow and arrow. Man, I wish I brought my gun. I was like, yeah, I mean, the deer population in New Jersey and New York are out of control, because the people out here are so urbanized and so sophisticated that they're literally just letting all this free meat go to waste, you know? I mean, these urban bitches who are obsessed with farm to table don't realize that they straight up got forest to table running around anywhere and everywhere they look. Instead, they hit them with their cars and then let all this wonderful meat just like rot on the side of the street like garbage. And it's like, bro, come on. Don't you know better? No, instead they go to Whole Foods and they drop all this stupid cash on farm to table or organic meat. And it's like, you don't know where the fuck that's from. It's not local, you know? Like, the deer running around in your backyard, that's local. Like, that's your property. You could shoot that thing and feed your family for the next year and a half. I have 2 shows coming up tonight, Monday, December 1st at 7:30. I will be at Crystal Lake in Brooklyn, New York at 7:30. It's a queer comedy show. Please come through. It's going to be lots of fun. And on December 18th, I will be in Milwaukee at the Sugar Maple to participate in the Hotties Only comedy show. I believe it's at 7:30. But check my website at gracejungcomedy.com/upcomingshows. Or I think it's gracejungcomedy.com/shows. Yeah, just go to gracejungcomedy.com. If you click on the upcoming shows link, all of my upcoming shows are listed there. The show I'll be talking about today is called You and Everything Else. And this is a very fascinating show. It is from the screenwriter Song Hye-jin. And she is well known for making some very dramatic movies. Like, she made the film, or she wrote the film, My Wife Got Married, starring Song Hye-jin. The title of the film is literally what that film is about. It's about Song Hye-jin's character, who is married The movie's really interesting. Check it out. She's also written some K-dramas that I've never seen. I've never heard of. She wrote My Sweet Soul. She wrote Sent from Heaven. 100 Million Stars from the Sky. I haven't seen or heard of any of these shows. I've only seen You and Everything Else. And oh my god, if you haven't seen the show, you gotta, because the actress who plays Hanyeon, she's played by Park Ji-hyun, and she is amazing. Just like a phenomenal actress. She actually makes Kim Go-eun look like shit. Yeah, I mean, Kim Go-eun is a really good actress, but Park Ji-hyun just fucking outdoes her by miles and miles and miles. Park Ji-hyun, I don't even know who she is. She's very young. She is, to me, a new face, but she's been working for a long time. Like, her credits go back to, I think, 2017. Okay, so not too long, but, like, it's under 10 years. But incredibly talented actress, a force to be reckoned with. But, yeah, this show was fascinating because I think a lot of people who had a best friend or bestie relationship from their childhood and into their adulthood, I think a lot of us felt this way. Your best friend is not only your best friend, but also your best enemy or your best competitor, right? Because you're growing in a competitive capitalist society, and there are a lot of things to just feel competitive about, not because you are innately competitive, but just because of the way the world is, right? And that's what this show is about. It's about this constant back and forth between these two characters who love each other very deeply and have so much fun together, but at the same time there are these like nagging, envious kinds of things that are constantly moving about, and they are besties, and that they have a falling out, or they separate and then they get back together and have another falling out. Like, it's a constant. And ultimately, I thought it was kind of a beautiful story, because what else is there to do, right? When you live life, there's nothing but drama to be engaged in. If you don't engage in drama, then you're just lying dead in the water. You know, are you really actually living life? How do you know that you are alive if there isn't some drama popping off in your lives, right? And that's what this show is about, and it's intense. It is addictive.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
If it is binge-worthy, and it is very dramatic. So if you have not seen You and Everything Else, then check it out. My guest today is Reagan Niemela, and she is a very funny stand-up comedian who is visiting from Milwaukee, and we had such a wonderful conversation. Well, she's originally from Michigan, but currently lives in Milwaukee. Extremely talented comedian, a hilarious person, a very bright person, just a fun hang, fun chat. Let's talk to Reagan Niemela.
Reagan!
Grace!
Tell me, what have you been doing? What have you been up to?
Oh man, nothing. I like
just work.
Like, comedy wise, I feel like not that much because and I've just had a lot of family. Everybody's getting married right now.
Yeah.
I'm having that phase of my life. Yeah. So I feel like I'm out of practice and I'm in a huge like writing rut. because I'm just like constantly surrounded by people who are happy with their lives. And I don't know, it's brutal.
It's funny. Brianne Wilhite said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I need a little turbulation. You should never manifest that.
Literally.
Something terrible is about to happen now.
Okay, at least you know. At least you and I both know that, like, we're the ones that create it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm never a victim. It's like, I asked for this shit.
Yes, and I will sit in it now.
I think that's okay. As long as, you know, you fully own it.
Yeah.
And you enjoy the... the ride.
The bottom part of the roller coaster gets to the top, you know?
So, as long as you enjoy the little tornadoes, then you're good.
You're good. You're good. Totally.
Yeah. I have a friend who's kind of going through that at the moment, but in a very serious way. She got diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, Jesus.
And she's very young. She's like 35.
Okay.
And you know, of course, like, her community, like, throws this big GoFundMe fundraising campaign.
Beautiful.
And, you know, it's like everybody's, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have an Amazon wish list thing going for her. Like,
oh.
Like, literally 2 days in, like, 130 boxes show up at her doorstep, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Let's get her everything we can, yeah.
Yeah. And she hates it. And I'm like, that's the cost of fame.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
You're like, I would be relishing that cancer.
That's what I'm saying. You got cancer because you wanted this attention.
You got to make the most of the cancer.
Juice it.
Juice it.
Because the moment you're healed, nobody gives a fuck.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Everybody will forget.
They'll be like, what? And then they're just like going to be like, you were so brave. Past tense.
You were.
Past tense.
Yeah. Now you're just.
Now you're kind of being a bitch.
Yeah. Now we fucking hate you, actually.
Could you hit me back for that Amazon shit? I kind of thought, like, you die and then I get it back, you know?
Yeah.
This is terrible to joke about. I'm very sorry for your friend.
No, it's fine.
You know, breast cancer, though, fortunately, they've done a lot, so I hope.
They have.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be on the up and up.
Yeah. I think she's going to be okay.
Have you done a mammogram? We were just a bunch of the Milwaukee gals were just talking about this.
Okay.
No. Yeah, but if you've had one.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But, like, I do know when you're 40, like, that's, like, you're required.
Okay.
But it's probably smarter to get it before.
Before, yeah. I wasn't sure. I've not been to a doctor for, like, a general checkup in so long. I was unemployed last year. And then I've just been, like, kind of broke for, like, this year. So, like... Yeah, I had, like, some financial ups and downs and less. So it's like I'm trying to avoid the doctor at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's time, like, to go get it done. My friend just had to do it. I think she'd be okay with me saying this. Dana Ehrman, another very funny comedian. And yeah, she was just no positives. It's way worse than you think.
Yeah.
It's going to be horrible.
So, I hear, like, your boobs get, like, locked in a thing.
Yeah, it's like a
vice. It, like, squishes your tits.
Like those, like, YouTube videos where they squish stuff. But it's your tit.
I would watch that.
I'd watch that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's content I'd be into. But yeah, I do know, like, by age 40, like, all women should get it.
Okay.
But I feel like, yeah, before 40, also check in. Just,
like,
do it on yourself.
To just do it right now.
Yeah, you could just. There are ways of doing it. Actually,
at home.
So I understand the whole unemployment thing, you know, not seeing a doctor.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm currently there, but before I was there, but there was a window of time when I was gainfully employed and I did go to see a primary care physician.
Okay.
Hold on, I just want to check this and make sure it's working. Okay.
Cool.
I did see a primary care physician and she was like, do you know how to do, like, breast examinations? And I was like, no. And she was like teaching me how, and I was just like,
hot.
Very tender touching here.
Yeah,
like, it was very intimate.
So then why does the machine need to go all Hulk on you?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a tender human touch. Why do we have to have metal?
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on.
It's got to be because of the scan. Like, they're trying to suck it out so that they can scan through.
They got
to
scan it by flattening the shit out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think, though, if you have big boobs, it should hurt more. if you're a small chested bitch, it should be like, that's just my personal take.
All right, big bitch, big titted bitches.
That's my pick me take.
You watch out. Yeah. Yes, they're coming for you.
I'm coming for you.
You know, I think, you know, having boobs is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun. There was a time when it sucked, though.
Yeah, like puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's not a good time. And, like, I don't know what your situation was, but, like, I was, like, kind of going back and forth between my parents mm-hmm. at puberty. So, like, there was times where I was, like, with my dad for a long time, mm-hmm. and he was not in a position to help old Reagan out with that kind of shit. So it was, like, all the more humiliating where I'd, like, be at school, and they'd be, like, a nurse would be, like, I think you need a bigger bra, which is crazy that anyone's ever said that to me. But
you're like, thank you. Oh, my.
My life will be like this forever. People just keep saying, I think you need a bigger bra.
Bigger bras, bigger bras.
Yeah, no.
That's sweet.
But yeah, I think puberty was rough.
Yeah.
Did you just come in okay? How was that?
It was just painful is what I didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
It hurts like hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it still hurts sometimes, like right before period times, you know, it's like...
I don't have that, but you get the sensitive.
Yeah.
All my pain is like concentrated to my...
You get the cramps.
Yeah, the cramps are bad. Yeah.
Do you take medication for it or anything?
Occasionally, but the last few years I've been on the IUD, which has helped so much.
Okay.
It's like really alleviated a lot.
It's funny. Yeah.
When I was younger though, I was like, I'd be out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be out, yeah.
I understand. So I also get very painful menstrual cramps.
Okay.
I got an IUD last year.
Yay.
And it's diminished my flow greatly and diminish the cramps,
the pain
greatly.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? I should have done this forever ago.
Like decades ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But getting that IUD in there hurt like a motherfucker.
You're kind of like paying ahead. You're like putting down the deposit, you know?
This is funny. It's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah.
No, because I was too, I would have when I was on the pill, if I would miss a pill by even a couple hours, I'd go full blown period again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's why I started doing the IUD and that took that away as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Also taking the pill, with that timer thing, it's a pain in the ass.
Oh, so embarrassing too.
Yeah,
because it just goes off and
your alarm and everybody knows, oh, you're here to take your baby killing medication.
Yeah.
You whore.
You
Jezebel.
You slut. And my mom had me on it very young for acne, which is probably a horrible reason to have a child. Now I think that's
but it was common.
It was then.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing it. And so it would go off in high school, in class.
Yeah.
And everybody knew, even the boys, which is just oh God, no.
Yeah.
And they were all like, you're not fucking. I was like, no, but I have cystic acne, you would not believe. Come here, Jeremy.
And you can come inside of me, and that's actually a big bonus, but what the fuck would you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They were too young. They didn't realize what a gift you were.
No.
You know? I literally got my IUD because my partner wanted it. Because he was just like, I don't like condoms. And I'm like, I guess I don't like them either. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So let's take care of this shit. But it's it was mostly for him, you know?
Mm.
It was for me, it's whatever.
Doesn't matter.
But yeah. I was like,
do you feel now that you've had the benefits though, you're glad?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, okay. I am.
No buyer's remorse.
No.
Because that bitch stays in there. She's up there for a while.
For a while. She's up there.
What are we doing? Are you doing Marina? I got Marina. That's what I'm doing.
I got the one that starts with an L.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know. But
it starts with an L. I have the pamphlet somewhere.
Is it a copper? One of the copper ones?
No.
Hormonal.
It is not. It's hormonal.
Okay. I like it. I wish they'd come out with more colors, you know, rose gold.
Mm-hmm. Fuchsia.
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 I'd love them. Yeah.
But yeah, they did give me some options and I chose that one specifically because it's I don't know. They showed me numbers and data and this just seemed like the better.
That was the correct one.
Yeah. I was I'll go with that one.
Starts
with an L though. I can't remember.
I don't know why my brain's just going Lexapro, but those are for other products.
Sure, yeah. I shoved Lexapro up my twat. It's working.
And now
great.
The babies are just so sad they won't come out. I guess it would work the opposite way. But.
Man. I don't know. Did you ever take like other medications when you were growing up?
No.
Just birth control?
Yeah. No, this is also something I was talking about recently. I feel like I was blessed with a very good brain balance, which I know is like a major brag. It's like so many of my friends struggle with like anxiety, depression, all that. So, but I've never had to like be on any meds that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like thinking recently, maybe I should go on meds now. You know, I never went on meds. Like, I know I had all the stuff, but I just didn't do any meds. Yeah. And I'm like now considering, like, maybe should I consider something?
Some meds?
For like attention deficit or, you know, things like that.
Yeah. And that so everyone in my family has now been diagnosed with ADHD except for me.
The whole world has been diagnosed with ADHD because of TikTok, I think.
Yeah. I do have a part of me that's like, do we all have it, or is it a symptom of like the habits that we're forming with technology?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think some people do just genuinely have it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but like, yeah, if you're like a TikTok scroller, that's of course. Like,
yeah.
My mom, like, she can't do anything without playing her tile game. Like, she's got like a little tile game that she plays all day.
Really?
Yeah. So she's like talking, she's like paying bills, but she's also tiling and she's like competing with people. And
holy cow.
Yeah. She's just like constantly.
So when she's on her tiling phone. And yeah. She's having a conversation with you, how do you feel?
Well, she got me into it when I do it with her now. And okay. I'm on her team. Now it's like, what is it that men do all the time?
Now you're bonding.
Parallel play? Yeah.
Parallel play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're doing that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. She, like, the other thing is, like, my mom is like, she's in her 50s. And I have a little brother who's 12. So, and she's a single parent in her 50s to a 12-year-old. So if she wants to play tiles while asking me questions and not really listening, I'm okay with that. Woman's That's doing true. A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's
it's
doing
very,
a lot.
It's very loving of you. And very, it's almost like non-comedic of you, like non-comedian of you in some ways. Cause like for me, it's like if somebody doesn't like look at me or if they're like looking at the phone while trying to talk to me, I get very offended.
Totally. I see that. Yeah.
But you're like, you understand the circumstances and the context around your mother doing this. So you're like, all right, this is her break.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mess with it.
Well, and both my parents had a lot going on when I was a kid. So I was a little bit, and my brother was very like terrible, like as a child, like he like misbehaved. So like he always kind of had that. So I do think it's anti-comedian, but like I do think that's why I do comedy is because people just kind of always forgot me in a corner. Mm-hmm. I was always just very self-sufficient I read books a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I grew up and I was like, oh, if I get good at this, people will talk to me. Like, and they'll like be like, you're that chick.
They'll like me.
They'll like me. Yeah.
I'll get attention for this.
I'll get 5 whole minutes and a drink ticket. That's amazing.
What a life. No, so, okay. You grew up in Michigan, though.
Yeah, upper Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the UP.
Good. I was going to ask if you've been up there.
I have.
Yeah, good.
I've been up to Iron Mountain.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's like the gate into the UP.
Oh, okay.
It's like the first town you hit. Yeah.
The cusp of UP.
The cusp. But Iron Mountain's great. Did you get a pasty when you were up there?
I did get a pasty, and I called it a pasty, and
they
lady like corrected me. She's like, a pasty? Sure. And like this whole Midwestern culture thing, I'm very new to it all.
Right.
Like it's all very exotic.
Did you grow up in LA?
No.
No.
I grew up in the East Coast. I grew up in New York.
Oh shit. Okay.
And then I moved to LA.
Okay.
And then lived in LA for like a decade.
Okay.
And then moved here.
Yeah.
For work stuff. And then now I'm just here.
Yeah.
And my partner wanted to go to the UP to get cheap ass weed.
For sure.
And because he loves pasties.
Okay.
And I'm just like, it just sounds really whatever. It's basically like a pastry with stuff inside, like meat and vegetables.
Yeah.
And then there's gravy.
Oh, you guys got some gravy.
Yeah, they put gravy over ours.
So you probably, I'm trying to think of what shop you went to. Probably, I'm thinking Gene K's would be the one. Can I ask you this? Was the meat like cubed or was it like pull apart? Like kind of like more ground? Sort of.
The vegetables were cubed.
Okay.
And then the meat seemed ground.
Okay. So then maybe not Gene K's. It's the other one. Dobbers. You probably went to Dobbers.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. No, I got a lot of opinions.
All right, so what is the ideal pasty for you? What should it be like?
That's the only thing. Like, Iron Mountain is beautiful. It's a good area. But, like, my number one is Lawry's in Ishpeming. Mm. And there's a location in Marquette, too. The Ishpeming one's the best. But, like, yeah, I like it when the meat is ground. It's, like, Italian sausage and beef mixed together. And then there should be rhubarb in there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the ones in Iron Mountain have the rhubarb. That really is a game changer.
Interesting.
And then, yeah, all the other stuff. So, onion, potato, carrot. And then we do ours, and I still do ours. I know it sounds like a kid thing, but like we're ketchup people with our pasty.
Interesting. You know, ketchup is a very underrated condiment, right?
Hard agree,
because people just take it, they're just like, ketchup's everywhere, it's so accessible. Like they almost treat it like ketchup is this like working class sauce, and it is.
That's classist.
Why it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's high in sugar. It's tomato. It's red.
A little bit of acid in there.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So I appreciate ketchup.
Yeah.
I used to dip my steak in ketchup as a child.
Oh yeah.
And then now A1. So
nice.
What the fuck?
We love that.
Yeah. Okay. So pasties should come with ketchup. Interesting. And rhubarb.
And rhubarb should be in there. Ideally. Right.
So no gravy for you.
I bet that would be good. I'd eat it. I mean, I'll eat any pasty that you give me. I'll eat anything you give me, just about. Very much like a goat in that way. But I can't do, or I would always opt for the ketchup.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good to know. This is insider scoop. Because, okay, I posted like a Insta story about being in the UP and then trying a pasty, and I wrote it was just okay, and a couple of people were like, well, did you go to the right spot?
That's the question.
You were one of those people. And it was like another dude Milwaukee or whatever.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh shit, like there's a thing out here. All right,
opening a can of worms in the Midwest with that.
They got opinions. All right, they got shit to say about the preferences of pasties. But again, I was just like, okay, it's like a meat pie, but like in a bun. Like, okay, I get it. My partner loved it.
Yeah.
Just loved the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Ate the whole thing, wiped up the gravy. I didn't finish mine. He ate mine. He was just happy.
Is he a Midwest boy?
Through and through Scotty boy.
Scotty, Wisconsin? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, and it's like, I think Wisconsinites kind of view pasties the way that Michigan people view spotted cow, where they're like, you can only get the good ones when you go. So it's like this, like, also there's like this elevated aspect where you can only get it there or whatever. But
there is that.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you know, did he explain like where they came from? Like why they? It's because that's all mining culture up there. That's why the UP is primarily Italian and Finnish and Swedes. But they were all miners, and that's still the biggest industry up there. And so, you know, back in the day, that would be the easiest way to keep your food hot all day before lunch.
I see.
Is to do the pasty, and then it would still be hot when they'd take it out and eat it for their break.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm learning history, too.
Some blue-collar bullshit. Working class.
Working class.
Very ketchup-y.
Yeah. A lot of ketchup, a lot of warm buns. All right, that's good. That makes a lot of sense, because when I was up there, it's like Iron Mountain or Iron This, Iron That.
Yeah,
like,
a lot of mountains, too. Yeah.
Mountains, mining, like that whole stuff was always happening. So that makes a lot of sense. And I think in a lot of ways, like, I feel very like comfortable. So like we were up in UP, we had to, I don't know where the fuck we were. It was like little Norway or something.
Well, there's Norway, and then I think there is like a,
I guess Norway's
right next to Iron Mountain.
There's a little version, I think. It's like a block long. There's maybe five people who live there.
Yeah.
There was a Dollar General there.
Of course.
And I had to stop by because our motel did not have any, like, hair stuff. So I went to the dollar store
like
to
shampoo.
Get... Yeah, they didn't have anything to clean my body with. So I went to the dollar store to get some shampoo. And I go there, and there's a sign that says, ring this bell, and somebody will come.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I ring the bell, and then this woman shows up, and I just like loved her. She was like skinny, super tan, hair is like perfect, big volume, lot of hair,
yeah,
like, lot of makeup, like blue eyeshadow,
yeah,
thick mascara,
yeah,
lipstick, nails are done, bracelets,
yeah,
like I could tell she's like, she's raised 4 children at least. Probably has a grandchild from a teenage pregnancy.
Like, sure. Yeah.
I loved this woman.
Yeah.
And she shows up. She's like, thanks for waiting. And I realize she's running that store by herself.
Yeah.
She's
the
cashier. She's the clerk stocking stuff. She's the manager. She's the whole store.
She runs that town. Yeah.
She's not only the
she's
one
the
who
mayor.
Runs, she's the mayor. I was just like, oh my, like, why do I love this woman? And I realized it was that thing. I just feel, like, comfortable around people like her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the, like, I will say, like, it's particularly, like, the women back where I'm from are, was she, and I bet she had a good sense of humor. Like,
she was just, like, she was just on it. Like, there was a line, and she was just, like, on it. Like, moving things along, but not in, like, a rude way. Like, just super, like, just getting the job done and doing it beautifully.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, I just love this lady.
That's, all the women in my family are, like, so capable, and then to boot, most of them are funny as hell, and just, like, really, like, they get shit done. And I just love, like, it's a very... like Midwest, like robust woman is like a brand I think that applies to the UP.
And I love that
very much. I try to embody that in my life, even though I am way less capable than most of the women in my family.
It's all right, you know. And I think I do agree that sense of humor does come with that, like with that earthiness that you know, because there are people I meet, and you know, the ones that are like pretty like well put together, like well adjusted, they have a good, they have a house and a, you know, savings account and shit like that.
Yeah.
They're so boring. Yeah. Like, I want to stab myself in the eyes when they're speaking.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, I'm like, bless you, but sorry, you suck. Like, I don't want to talk to you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, there are these other types who are just, like, you know, in other respects, I don't know, like, society will not idealize them, right? Yeah. They'll just say, like, oh, they're a fuck up.
Yeah.
But they have personality.
Yeah.
They have stories.
They have blue eyeshadow.
They smoke cigarettes. Like,
yeah.
There is so much for me to, like, I just love them so much more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I just feel so much more comfortable. So, okay, I'm glad that you understand the brand.
Did, overall, like, past you was meh for you, but, like, did you like the UP in general?
I liked being there. I mean, like, I liked...
Are you guys fish a lot together, right?
Okay, so he fishes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big fisher, big hunter, like, big time, very...
He's
very
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, very Midwestern, very, like, pro-Wisconsin. When we leave the state, he thinks we're going to a different country. He literally will say, because, like, we went to a trip to Montana because he wanted a fish.
Sure.
And he's like, so when we leave the country, I was like, when we leave the country, we're going to Montana.
Which is just, like, different Wisconsin.
It's part of the United States of America. Yeah. It's just a couple states away. What are you talking about?
The culture there can't be that different than in Wisconsin.
It's,
yeah.
It's, like, identical, except they have a lot of mountains.
On the west side, right? But the east side, Montana, is all plains still.
Oh, yeah. Like, Wyoming and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it Wyoming?
Wyoming's right there.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's, like... a lot of plains, yeah.
Because you can go down from Montana into Wyoming, into Yellowstone, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. We had to drive through Minnesota.
Okay.
And then
a beautiful drive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then we cut through, touched Wyoming, like, briefly, and then it was Montana.
Up into Montana. Mm-hmm. Nice. That's
Montana,
a good trip.
Montana was really beautiful, though.
Yeah. I want to go, I think Glacier's in Montana. Glacier National Park.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Like, what was trippy about Montana is, like, I went there in the summer, so I was, like, in shorts.
Okay.
But I would look, I'm in the mountains, and I would look, and there's, like, snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like Colorado, even. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is weird, and, like, also when you're that far north, too, I just feel like, because, like, even back where I'm from versus Milwaukee or Madison here, for sure, same thing where, like, in the summer up there, and it is more mountainous where I'm from, not like Montana, but there it is more mountainy,
yes,
or bluffy, maybe you'd say.
Yes.
The days are very hot and the nights get way more chill.
Mm.
Whereas I feel like this part of the Midwest that we're in right now is like very much like the temp during the day is kind of the temp at night. Like mm-hmm. it won't fluctuate like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like when I go home, even in the summer, I have to like pack like sweatpants, sweatshirt, and my friends are like, it's July, and I'm like, it's gonna get chilly. I don't know, yeah. Like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, UP was beautiful. I know my partner is like, oh, I could definitely live in Michigan. I also, like, I like skiing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm, like, big time. I'm really into it. But, yeah, I threw my back out, and we had to cancel a UP trip
for
skiing. So that part sucked. But
where were you going to ski in the UP?
Like, Iron Mountain.
In Iron Mountain? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's, like, the only part I've been to.
I do need to talk to your partner and be like, there's more than Iron Mountain.
We need to expand.
Yeah. I think you'd love... Marquette is so cute. Okay. I love Marquette. If you guys are... And, yeah, if you're... So, Marquette... Cute college town. They do have good restaurants, fun little bars, and a lot of really good fish too, like, because it's like right on Lake Superior and blah, mm-hmm. blah. So you're going to get a lot of good food. And then if you keep going through Marquette, you can get to Pictured Rocks National Park, which is my favorite place to camp or backpack, whatever uh-huh. you're into. And it's all like the trail hugs the shoreline of Lake Superior. You'll have like the arches going, like there'll be like rock formations arching into the lake. You can kayak through them. If you
sounds beautiful.
Go to Munising. It's so beautiful.
Holy shit.
And then you basically camp, if you sleep there, you camp like right behind the dunes.
Oh,
and so all night
yeah.
you just hear the lake and it's like,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Magic.
Yeah.
See, it's like, that's how people should live.
Literally. Yeah.
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 Like,
more and more, I want to just be in the woods.
I agree.
yeah.
Like, okay, so when we were in Montana, we were like, you know, dispersed camping. These are new words to me.
Yeah.
I had to learn these things. These concepts were new to me.
Okay.
So you just go there
mm-hmm.
with a tent and just a shovel and all the food that you're going to eat. And you just stay in the mountains for 5 nights or whatever. So it was very intense.
Yeah.
I had never done this.
Did you go in away from your car, too? You were, like, fully backpacking?
Like, our yeah. car was, like, 2 days away.
Yeah.
Like, two wow. days hikes away. Yeah.
Grace, that's amazing.
Like, went there.
Yeah.
I did think I was gonna die.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, this is blissful because I can't hear anybody.
No.
No human sounds.
Yeah.
And that was actually like a dream of mine.
Truly healing. Yeah. Especially now. yeah. Just to be like, I have no idea what's going on.
yeah.
So nice.
No internet.
Yeah.
No human sounds. like no cars.
Yeah.
Just nature.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was like, I was like, oh, this is actually really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to backpack a lot in my early 20s, mostly in the UP though, because I went to backpack in Colorado and I didn't end up backpacking. I camped, but I didn't end up doing it there because I had my first night there. I was car camping and I had a bad experience in that campground with like being a woman alone.
Yeah.
And then I was like feeling a little, I was what? 22, 21. I was 21.
So vulnerable.
Yeah. And I hadn't really traveled very much at that point in my life, even myself. So mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to stay with my car, but I'll keep camping. But anyways, I backpacked a lot in the UP. It was particularly at that Pictured Rocks location. And it is like the worst day of my life is when I started backpacking there. I had no service. But like up there, things were just changing really quickly and just in general, we're getting more and more phones and we're getting less and less able to be away from them. And now throughout most of Pictured Rocks where I would go, I have service. And it was like heartbreaking to mm-hmm. like learn that where it's like, oh, do I just leave it in my car? But you don't want to do that mm-hmm. because
it's your phone.
And if something did happen,
yeah.
like you're going to need that.
Yeah.
But no, like getting away. I think that's like the best sleep you'll have in your life is like, I mean, if your back can take it, speaking of back problems, but like just like being away from like everything and anyone
yeah.
just alone in the woods.
Yeah.
Did you get any critters?
Yeah.
Really? There were some bears?
Marmots.
Marmots?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Marmot. Yeah. It's kind of like a weaselly. Yeah.
Yeah. They look like a groundhog.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they look like ground. They're bigger though. They're about this big.
Okay.
And they chewed.
What was their deal? Yeah.
They chewed the shit out of my partner's socks
and hat
because it's like there's salt on it.
Yeah.
So they left our shoes alone. Thank goodness.
That's good. Yeah.
Because we need that.
Yeah.
Chewed up his socks, like the shit out of it, and then his hat. And I was like hysterically laughing because it's funny. But then, so he fishes. He has this fly rod handle, which is made of cork.
Yeah, yeah.
They chewed
the shit out of
the cork on that fly rod handle. And he was like, where's my gun? I'm killing these. I'm like,
calm down.
No, you're not.
Calm down.
You can't kill them. He's like, I'm going to kill them. Like, you don't know which one did it.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Revenge kill?
Also, like, they're only doing what marmots do.
That's what they're... You're not supposed to be there.
Yeah, we're guests.
I guess humans are in nature, but, like, the cork isn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, we brought it here. We left it out, and they're like, oh... Thank you for the goodies.
I wanted cork today. I got some cork. He can replace that, though, hey?
He's fine. Yeah. But at the time...
Yeah, this was dramatic.
He was very upset. Because, you know, again, Midwestern boy, we're going into Montana, which is bear country.
Yeah.
So he was packing heat.
Yeah.
And he wanted to put that heat on these cute little rodents.
Yeah.
And I'm like... You're not killing them.
That's only for bears. And angry, like, bears that are causing problems at that. Man, I've never carried a gun camping, though. I'll say that. I've never.
Sounds like you needed it in Colorado.
I had bear spray on me.
Okay, good.
You want a horrifying fact? When I bought... That was still the first can of bear spray I ever owned. And when I went to buy my first can of bear spray, I walked into the store and I was checking out. It's like an old man in Marquette, near where I'm from. And I'm checking out with him and he goes, do you know that stuff? It's only a third as strong as the stuff they make for us men. Like, bear spray is less potent, 3 times less than mace is what he told me. I guess I've never Googled this, so this could be hearsay. But that's what the clerk told me.
I'm not surprised by this.
I guess it makes sense, but it's horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, a bear is, like, how many pounds? Like,
bears are... They get huge.
Right now, they're fat. Right now. they're ready for...
The most dangerous right now.
Yeah.
No, bears are enormous and very aggressive, but bear spray is expensive, too.
Yeah.
That's the bullshit part. Yeah. It doesn't shoot very far.
Yeah.
Like 3 feet or something.
Yeah.
And they're not very potent because my partner, he bear sprayed one of the marmots. Because these marmots...
He did?
They don't give a fuck.
Like, they didn't care?
Because they look at us and they're just like, we don't know who you are. We're not threatened by you at all. We're going to eat all your stuff. After they chewed the shit out of his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he found it and he was like, oh my, I'm going to kill them. One of them shows up and goes directly... to his backpack and starts like nibbling away, and I'm like, oh, like, my god, Connor,
like you're there, like it sees you seeing not, it.
It was literally right next to me.
What,
like,
the
this
hell?
Is the backpack and the marmot was right here. He didn't... I was like, go away, dude. And he was just like, he didn't care.
That's so crazy.
Connor bear sprayed the thing and the thing just came right back.
It didn't give a shit.
It was hardly affected, and I'm like, this is a marmot.
Yeah.
It has, like, olfactory. They have a good sense of smell.
Yeah.
They have eyes. It should cause injury. They didn't care.
They didn't give a shit.
Came back, and then he sprayed it a lot and a lot closer, like, on the back. And that's when it was just, like, more, like, started making sounds and started sputtering. And I was like, okay, you got it this time. But, bear spray doesn't go very far, and it's not very potent.
Okay. I've never had to actually use mine. Yeah.
And it's funny that this man was telling you this.
Yeah.
Like, what is he suggesting? So you should have brought mace with you? Like,
I think he was trying to, like, scare me.
Just drop knowledge.
Because he was asking questions before that. He had helped me pick out some other things that I was buying, and I told him that was, like, it was when I had just been getting into backpacking. So he's like,
see.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, are you going with anybody? I told him no, and he's like, will you be careful? And then he told me that thing. I think it was, like, kind of, like, freak me. That's also, like, a very, like, old man UP thing where they're gonna be like, freak you out a little bit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this is the only way you're gonna learn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they're gonna laugh about it, like, oh, I terrified that woman.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the Midwest. I feel like men just you know, like, arming themselves, right? Like, constantly arming themselves, constantly trying to prepare.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, because the winters here are pretty insane.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in Michigan as well, like especially up there.
Yeah, my dad, I'm from a town called Ishpeming, and then my dad lives like an hour down a dirt road away from that town. And he's got everything like back up. So he like cuts wood all summer. He's got a huge storehouse of wood. He has a generator to keep the heat going regardless. And then when he bought this property, there was 3 bedrooms, and one was supposed to be his room, obviously, my older brother's room, and then my room. And my room just kind of turned into the gun room. So when you go in my room, it's like the walls, like it's about this size. It's not a very big room. And the walls are literally lined with guns. It's just guns. Everywhere's guns. One of them apparently is my gun. I don't know where it is in there. It's in there. I have a gun in there. I don't.
What kind of gun is it?
I have a 9mm Beretta is what I have.
Very nice.
I bought it with him. And then he wanted me to take it back to Wisconsin. And I said, no, I've never taken a gun safety. That's like the weird thing too, where it's like, I'm very like, I have a lot of like, kind of like what might be considered like masculine, like traits from like being in the UP. But my parents did genuinely want to raise me to be like a girl. And they like wanted me to like, you know, they put me in ballet. My dad refused to like let me do wrestling. I wanted to do wrestling so bad, and he would not. He didn't really teach me how to shoot. Like, he would teach my brother, but not me. Just like kind of like some like structured gender roles, which is crazy now because I don't think they give a shit at this point. But yeah, it was kind of the way they were raised, so they were reproducing that. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, so I don't have a lot of, people think I have like maybe more practical skills than I actually do when it comes to like hunting or fishing. Like, I have no idea.
So hence the backpacking on your own and trying to
foster
hone
that
these skills.
Yeah, yeah, myself. Yeah, and then so I would say with that, I can do a good campfire. I taught myself how to like I guess that was my mom's job, and I love you, mom, but she's a terrible cook. So I like learned how to like cook well and like cook in the woods and all that kind of shit. But the other kind of
making
shit,
a fire, it's actually not easy.
No, I think a lot of people think it is. Yeah.
And when you get good at it, it's such a good skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in adverse conditions. If you're going to have rain or I mean, if you're going up a mountain, like sometimes you're going to be in places where it's snowy and you have to like build a fire. Yeah. I'll take snow over rain any day because dry. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Drier than rain. But,
So what's your style? Do you do like the teepee, the tent, or do you do the
I'm a cabin girly. I know it's like very contentious. What are you doing?
I don't make fires. My partner does, and he prefers the log cabin.
The log cabin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like depending on what you're working with, maybe either way is fine. But if you're in a very spoiled position, you got a lot of wood, you can just do that cabin. It's like way easier to me.
It's very sturdy.
Yeah.
And the fire just keeps going.
And feels more contained. Like the teepee, it feels like is more precarious.
Yeah.
It's like especially if I'm camping alone, I don't want to fall asleep and my fire spills over and blah blah blah. So like I like the cabin for that reason.
Yeah. Do you like collect rocks and make a little fire ring and shit when you're camping?
I think most of the sites I've been at have had like a ring there.
Good.
I can't think of one. Yeah, like especially in pictured rocks, those are really well maintained and like gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the little bit of camping I've done in Wisconsin, I've done a decent amount of camping, but there's not a lot of like good backpacking spots in Wisconsin that are in this area. I feel like it's a lot more car camping.
Yeah.
Between Madison and Milwaukee, you're just gonna go to your site. You probably get some good backpacking up north, but if it's like I'm driving to northern Wisconsin, I might as well just go to the UP where I know I like it and all that. But
exactly.
But yeah, I think most of them have been pretty well maintained. I haven't had to do that, but I would.
Yeah.
I'd make my little witches. What are those called? The stacks. Do you know what I'm talking about though? No. They're like trail markers. You know that?
Oh, when they stack the like, stones?
Yeah, yeah, and it's like in Blair Witch and all that. They've got a name for those. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I didn't know.
I'd be doing all that.
I didn't know it was witchcraft. I thought it was just like for luck or
I think it is for luck. Somebody told me, and I feel like the association with Blair Witch, it's got like a witchy thing, but I think it's literally just trail markers. I think that's where it comes from, of just being like, this is where you're supposed to go.
Yeah,
like,
and this is where people were.
Have been,
Yeah. It's comforting in a way.
Totally.
Yeah. I like that. Okay, so now I'm understanding why we're talking about the UP.
Yeah.
So you grew up in the UP.
Yeah.
But then you moved to Milwaukee.
I lived here first, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to school here. So I was here for, well, and actually before that, so my mom and my dad split when I was young. And then I went to high school in Pulaski, Wisconsin, which is near Green Bay. Mm. So I went to high school there, and then I got into Madison, barely, and waitlisted, last to be let in. But I got here, and I went to school here, lived here for 5 years, and then I moved to Milwaukee after that, because Madison just felt a little small for me. I like, because I'm from so small, you know, like I've never had big city experience. So like, and Milwaukee's not even really a big city, but I once I got a taste of like what it was like living here, I was like, okay, now I want the next mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I moved over to Milwaukee.
Do you want to continue stay in Milwaukee, or do you want to like,
I think it's time to go. Yeah, it's getting to that point. Chicago
or
maybe Chicago. Yeah. I think ideally at some point I'd like to live in New York, even if it's just for like a year, but like right now, with the state of comedy and the economy, I feel like Chicago's the smartest choice, mm-hmm. you know, if you're, like, looking for a big market. Because mm-hmm. it's, or Atlanta would be good, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, I obviously never going to touch Austin. and I like L.A. to visit, which I've recently come to like L.A. I started to be an L.A. hater, but I didn't like it for a while. Mostly because, like, I would fly there and I would not have my car. And I just don't see the point of having a city that big with no trains and, like, public transport. Like, that drove me nuts.
Yeah, you need a car there.
So you just the amount of money you'd spend on Ubers and yeah. all of that was crazy. But so yeah. I like New York more for that reason. Mm-hmm. But my friends, actually, speaking of all those weddings, my friends who are getting married next month live there now. That's who I usually go visit. And I, on the last two trips I've had out there, I've come to really, really love it. Especially their new location. Like, they live near Grant Park now, and it's just like so beautiful. Like, I think that's the other thing too, is I was like, where she was living before didn't have anything but beach, and I love beach, but like I wanted Grant Park. Oh, I got a trail. I always need a trail wherever I am. Like, yeah. I want to go have that moment in
You're
the woods.
A mountain lady.
I am.
Yeah,
I get overwhelmed. I'm very social. I'm out most nights of the week, but then I need to have that little place where I can go. Like in Milwaukee, I live on the Milwaukee River, so I can like go on that trail and mm-hmm. you see people, but like I can kind of get away. Mm-hmm. When I lived here, I'd go to the Arboretum a ton mm-hmm. and then run out to the Point. Mm-hmm. I love that. Which
the Arboretum's just down the street for us.
I know. When I pulled in, I was like looking at my phone, like, where are we right now? Yeah.
You just walk right down the street. Arboretum's right there.
Yeah.
I love that. It's a nice little treat.
Yeah. So good. Yeah.
Okay. So.
That Milwaukee. Was the dream. Yeah.
So, okay. What did you study at Madison?
English and video.
English and video.
Yeah. Super successful careers for a real self-starter of a gal, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, English is fun and video is fun. What did you study with video, though? Like, what does that mean?
I was kind of into, like, mostly animation and then actually into some Asian film for a while. I had a professor who was super into Hong Kong Hollywood and like showing us like how the difference between, you know, in our Hollywood, how we had to do action movies and like what, how we kind of revolutionized in the United States, like what our contribution to that genre was, but then went back and showed like nobody, like Hong Kong Hollywood was like, they were like bodies doing the work, and then we figured out how to like essentially like use CGI to like make that dramatic or whatever. So that was like fun, and I love doing that. But I think my main thing was like I really liked the animated portion. And then I got into, and the last few years that I did it, the production piece into more the editing than like the camera work. I liked that, like having something given to me and then doing the puzzle rather than like, I'm not a good planner. And I think if you're going to be like a cinematographer, you need to be a good planner. I'm more of a puzzle solver, a problem solver. Which is crazy to say now, because I feel like my job is like the easiest thing in the world. I do nothing, but but I liked having it on the other end.
I love editing too.
It's
like the editor makes the movie.
Ultimately.
It's like a very empowering role to be in. But also I like the puzzle analogy too, because it's like anything can go anywhere, but when it fits, you know that it works.
Yes.
And it's a very satisfying feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would think that would be very frustrating to be the cinematographer exclusively and not be able to edit your own thing. Like, that would always bother me. Right? It's like, I'm just going to get handed my product. That would piss me off. I feel like I guess I'm a control freak.
A lot of, I mean, sometimes if there is like enough leeway, then the editor and cinematographer will dialogue.
Yeah.
Like.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
During production, yeah. They think that bridging that dialogue is very important. But yeah, editing is, it's a very satisfying feeling. Okay.
What is your degree? Because you're getting your PhD, correct?
No, I have a PhD.
You're done. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I'm with Louise all the time. She's still powering through.
Oh, right. Yeah, she's in grad school, yeah.
And all of her friends, I think Cass graduated, but I think all of her friends that I've met in like her cohort are still wrapping up. Mm-hmm. So you're done.
Ages ago. Oh, I studied film and media studies.
Okay. Are you teaching then, or do you?
So that's why I moved here. I was teaching at UW.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
And I was teaching film.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Probably would have been my professor then.
Yeah. But it's done now. It's kaput. It was just a contract job, and you know, Trump got elected, and now higher ed is just all fucked.
So. Oh no.
Yeah.
What did you teach mostly?
I taught popular culture, so okay. Television shows. I taught Korean film.
Hell yeah.
I taught a literature course. And then I taught like a weirder course. I called it like shamanism and clowning.
Ooh.
And it was, yeah.
Shamanism and clowning?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically
say more on that, yeah.
Just saying that shamans and clowns are the same. And
interesting.
Where, like, if we try to locate the origin of a shaman and the origin of where a clown comes from, they kind of come from the same exact place.
Really?
A lot of these like healer types tend to also be clowns. And then, you know, I lived in LA for a bunch of years, and every comedian I meet was also like
a shaman.
A shaman. Self-proclaimed. But shaman nonetheless.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're into zodiacs and like tarot and like,
of course,
very into mysticism. And I was like, oh, this is like, there's like an interesting pattern here. And yeah, just kind of like finding that in popular culture and then sort of locating it and then discussing it. And
that makes so much sense, because I always feel like there's like something, I don't know. I feel like when men are talking about comedy, they're always like, it's coming from the pain, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I think you're actually chasing the healing, like the ability to take things and close the gap. Like it's much more of a gentle thing than a ripping, a tearing, a like, or like a pinpointing thing. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. So I feel like, yeah, like there's something inherently, and then of course there's something inherently healing about comedy. You're laughing, for fuck's sake. What do you mean? It's about, yeah, like punching, you know, and power and all of that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And I guess there is like, you do have like power on stage and all of those things, but like, but I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily like in, like power, like healing is power. Like I don't think that those are like, what would you say, converse? Sorry, I'm not, blah, blah. That's really cool. I love that. That's,
yeah.
I'm actually, kind of reminds me, I'm reading a book. I'm trying to read more. I'm trying to be more analog.
Mm.
One, because like I have a very easy job right now and I feel like I'm getting dumber every day.
What's your job right
and
now?
I'm already really dumb. So it's like, we can't lose what we have. I work in the legal field. And I was a paralegal for a long time. And now I'm a legal assistant, which is like, you know, it was technically, I kind of demoted myself, but I wanted to get out. I was doing personal injury law, which are like all those cheesy attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And those jobs are very difficult. They're high turnover. Mm-hmm. They're brutal.
Mm-hmm.
High stress. And now I work in like real estate law, which is like nice and chill and lovely. And so like my job, you know, I have to be on it and all that, but it's not necessarily like mentally extremely demanding.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to read a lot more. I'm reading a book right now called Bunk, and I'm only like a chapter in, but they're kind of talking about how like grifts, which is a lot of like showmanship kind of shit, speaking of clowns, like grifts, hoaxes, and all of these things are similar, and then they're actually tying it to like it's actually, you know, tied to race, obviously, and because they're starting back in like what would this be? 18? God, I'm shitty with it. Yeah, it was the 1870s.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're talking about like the guy who came up with the fish mermaid thing.
Hmm.
Do you remember where they like glued a monkey body onto a fish? And they were like, you can find this on like Ripley's Believe It or Not or whatever. This was like the guy, he was like kind of like the original like showman grifter.
Interesting.
Who had his like House of Freaks and Horrors and blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
And so then they're like talking about like how all of these different like things are kind of the same thing, and talking about how like complicitness is inherent to a grift, and how humor is also inherent to a grift. Like the best grifts or hoaxes for that matter, the audience knows they're being hoaxed and they like it. Like he's talking about that, which is, I just find very interesting. I'm only a chapter and a half, but I don't know. If it's good, I'll let you know.
Yeah. No, but that makes a lot of sense. Well, you're saying a lot of fascinating things. Like, I like what you say about like comedy as a way towards healing. I think that's like very profound and true.
Yeah.
I also think that, like people are like, especially an audience, if you're convincing enough, they're willing to check out what it is and see through the story.
Always. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you're holding their attention and entertaining, they will stick around.
Yeah.
And they will buy into the story world that you created.
Totally.
Yeah. Even if they are aware, like, you know, like people like magic, they know it's bullshit, but it's like mind blowing nonetheless.
Yeah.
You know?
They know that there's a trick coming and they want to see it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's just entertainment. And it's like, while we're doing that, what's happening? Right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I was trying to name with that class. With
the clown and the shaman. Yeah. 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 It's like,
why, like, I don't know, we'll look at like drag kings and drag queens too. It's like, they are clowning. But they're also providing something else, you know, and it's just energy.
Yeah,
they're just dealing with energy, you know, like comedians are very good at transmuting energy, right? Like you say, oh, comedy is a way towards healing. Well, that's literally a transmuting of energy.
Yeah,
that's what shamans do. Shamans will bring in all their props and like their salts and whatever, all their shit, and they use it as a way to hold your attention.
Okay.
So that you're committed and convinced.
You're invested.
That you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
So they got all the shit out.
Yeah.
And then they'll like read it and be like, oh, and they're interpreting.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you stuff.
Yeah.
And hear your story too. And then they'll like give you some kind of response.
Yeah.
And it's like out of that process, something changes. The circumstances typically doesn't really change.
Yeah.
You know, like, have you been to like a psychic or a medium or whatever?
I've had, not a professional one, but I've had my tarot cards read a few times. And then even just had friends like do like, I don't know, my friend did this thing where she like just like held her hand over my body.
Like Reiki?
Yeah, I think it was like that. Yeah. And I was like, and like nothing's happening.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but you can follow the international, like, global massage competition that exists, and you can follow it on Instagram.
Yeah,
just watching it, like, it's not happening to me, and I feel like weirdly perverted. Like, I feel like perverts watch this, you know what I mean? But like, genuinely, just non-sexually, just watch someone get a massage, it actually relaxes you because you're just like watching like that transference happen.
Yeah.
And knowing like how good that feels to like for that person to like give that, and also for the person to receive it. And it's just like this very lovely, God, it does sound like I'm a pervert, doesn't it? No. But,
like, but who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
And then you get off. But but like, and that like is blowing my mind recently. Like, I keep thinking about like, why do I like watching this video? It's not like, it's not, I could see why like, you know, men would want to watch this, because if there's like two chicks and they like think it's sexual. But like, genuinely, I'll watch an old man massage an old man, I'm just like, this is so nice.
Yeah.
Like, this is like calming me down.
Yeah. It's like ASMR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
ASMR videos are basically that.
Yeah.
You are ASMR's target market.
I just got my nails done, so I'm like, my sister's getting married this weekend.
So like, oh my gosh, so many weddings.
Yeah. No, it's a one now and one next weekend, and I have one in the summer, or next month, and then I'm done.
Are you in the wedding?
I'm in the next two, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
Did you guys have a bachelorette party yet?
Last weekend. Oh. Grace, you're gonna love this.
What did she do?
Okay, my sister is so perfect. Yeah. Like, she's just, one, she's like the most kind, conscientious, thoughtful, graceful person, but she's also so, she has such a fiery personality while being that. Like, I love Alina so much. And this was lovely. So, we started getting our nails done. We did that. And then we went to, for lunch, Olive Garden.
Oh.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
built-in nap time after Olive mm-hmm. Garden. Wake up, eat a little bit more, then we go to bingo.
Oh, fuck yeah.
We play bingo for 2 hours yeah. in a dry casino.
It's not like old ladies, I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and they hate that we're there. They hate. They're like,
why is youth allowed here? This is our domain.
I feel like old people are usually like, oh, I can't wait to talk to you. You know what I mean?
They're like
yeah, no, they were like, this is our
they're
space.
They're competitive.
Bitch. It was insane. We got yelled at. We were too loud. They were all drinking out of their like Stanleys, and because it was a dry part of the casino, we weren't supposed to have any alcohol, and they uh-huh. all snuck it in. I didn't know that, so I didn't do it. But I was sober playing bingo, and I was probably the most into it. Uh-huh. And then we went back to the Airbnb, played beer pong.
Oh, nice!
Ordered McDonald's, went to bed. It was amazing,
dude.
Yeah, no.
Epic, beautiful,
beautiful. Like
so simple, gorgeous.
Yes,
I rewatched Bridesmaids.
I have been wanting to watch that movie. Like, rewatch. Yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's such a good movie.
Set in Milwaukee!
That was the part that blew me away. I was like, holy shit, the whole time, Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Set in Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, they were planning, like, what are they going to do for the bachelorette party?
Yes.
And then, like, she had a very, you know, Kristen Wiig's character had a very simple plan.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, what you just described.
Yeah.
But they wanted to go to Vegas.
That's right. They go to Vegas. Yeah. Yes. And then, she gets drunk on the plane and then, like, pilled.
And yeah. then, yeah, everything yeah. goes to shit.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I actually like her idea better. And then when they do like this bridal shower thing, it's like epically huge and like over yeah. the top. And I was just like, yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable in that. Would I like it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, I don't know. It
yeah.
doesn't quite fit my thing. Vibes is what I'm looking for. And I think when you're watching those massage videos,
yeah,
you sense the vibes coming through.
Yes.
It's a very calming thing, soothing thing.
Yeah.
And I think you're getting that soothing vibration like through the screen, and
yeah.
it's like comforting and calming to you in some way.
Yeah. It's like, God, I'm just knowing somebody had a good day out there. It's like so nice. Well, and I feel like I was listening to some of your episodes, and on your recent one, you talked about liking watching fun animal videos.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was so perfect, because you posted today the little bear in the lake.
The bear in the lake.
And I had seen that video like
yeah.
a few days ago or yesterday. Like, literally, it just popped. And it gave me so much joy. And then I saw you.
He's floating.
Floating. Yeah.
Just like enjoying the swim.
No direction. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
the swim is full of food.
Yeah.
Just
fat.
All that salmon yeah. right there.
Yeah. Where he doesn't even need to chase it.
Yeah, it's just like, just I'm in the water.
He's been eating good. Yeah.
yeah. I was like, let me go for a dip.
Yeah.
If I feel hungry, I'll just dip deeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, bears, they seem to have a pretty good life. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think if you had to be an animal, bear would be pretty high up on my list.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're yeah. up there in terms of the food chain, they're up there. You
yeah.
know? They
The moms are kinda bossy, the bad bitches.
Yeah, yeah. Moms are pretty dope. And they can eat everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They could eat berries, they can eat plants, they can eat animals, you know? It's like, have your pick.
That is so true. The convenience of being an omnivore.
Yeah.
yeah.
They could literally be a pig their whole lives and
yeah.
eat everything, and
yeah.
that's okay.
That is so nice.
The funniest bear to me, though,
uh-huh.
is the panda.
Oh, duh. Yeah, yeah. The panda compilation videos that are online right now.
Why are you even... It's like they chose to be vegetarian.
Yes.
And it's such an inconvenience.
They also chose to be fat and love the skinniest plant. I think all pandas are like overbearing mothers in that way.
They were never supposed to survive. They
no.
were supposed to die off.
I was going to say, are they the ones where they're having to make them fuck?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. Okay, it is
yes.
pandas. Yeah, yeah.
They are supposed to be dead as a species.
Yeah.
Because they can't survive on their own. I don't think it's even poaching or anything. It's like they are literally meant to die.
They're like our generation's dodo bird.
yeah. yeah, yeah. They're supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
But like, they're so cute.
Yeah.
That we are trying to keep them
alive. Can you imagine being that cute? That would someone would intercede in your life and be like, don't worry, babe.
I got this.
Yeah. God, if only we had those big titties.
Panda
yeah.
caretakers and shit. Like
oh.
it's a whole career.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
All right, dude. I do this with all of my guests, mm-hmm. especially when they're comedians, and so I need to do this with you.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
What I do is I take a show. I take a Korean TV show, and then I take the situation and then a character, and then I basically ask. It's an improv game. I'm like, what would you if you were this person in this situation?
Okay.
And just feel free to be as like outrageous and stupid and whatever you want.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, there's like about a dozen questions, and so we'll just get through this, and then we'll wrap up. So the show is called You and Everything Else.
Okay.
I read this show very much as like a subversive lesbian text.
Okay.
It's not.
That's how a lot of people read me.
Literally my name. Subversive lesbian text.
Text.
But so this is like, to me, I enjoyed watching this show. A lot of ups and downs. So All right, let's get into it. So let's say you're a television show writer in her 40s. All right, your name is Eunjun. Okay. And an estranged ex bestie.
Okay.
Named Sangyeon, who you haven't spoken to in like 10 years.
Okay.
Because she cut ties with you.
Her decision. Okay.
She shows up in your life very suddenly.
Okay.
And she asks to be friends with you again. What do you do?
She just wants to be friends?
Yeah, she's just like, I know we haven't spoken in a long time. I just want to be friends again.
What do I do? I'm a TV writer. Do I have a good life?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. Your circle can always be bigger. A lot of people are like, keep your circle small. I'm like, open it up. What do you mean? What do you mean? Open it up.
Yeah.
We were on this planet for very long. I would do a 2-week test.
Okay.
I'd open it up for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then if she comes asking for something, you know, I'm like,
oh.
Get out of here. I've had that happen to me, actually. It wasn't 10 years, but I've had a friend like come back and then ask me for things. And I was like, fuck you. Yeah. So then you gotta do a test. But like, yeah, open it back up. I would say, I'd probably demand some things of her, see how she reacts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. If you cut me off, and that wasn't my decision, I didn't want that, I think I get to ask something of you.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I think you need to take me out to dinner, right. And you need to tell me what your life has been like and why you cut me off. And I think, and then you get me dessert as well. Yeah.
And then I
can. Because we're going to be at war soon, and you're not going to be able to have dessert. So now I'm like merging this fictional world with our real world.
We have to. But there's no other way. All right, all right, good. All right, I like that answer.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's go back in time. All right. You are the same character.
Okay.
Eunjun, but you are in middle school.
Okay.
All right. And there's this girl in your class. She's new.
Okay.
Her name is Hanyeon.
Okay.
Everybody adores her.
Yeah.
Right? She's pretty, comes from a prestigious family. She's very smart, does great in school, better grades than you.
Okay.
Okay. Her mom is the language arts teacher in the same school. And you and the mom get along very nicely.
Okay, nice.
All right. The class does a class vote for the class president.
Okay.
And they vote Sangyeon to be the class president. Now, one day in school, while the teacher's away, mm-hmm. the teacher says, your class president, Sangyeon, is in charge while I'm away. All right? So, the teacher is gone. Sangyeon is the monitor. And you get called out for being disruptive because a boy kept kicking your shit. So you yelled at him, and then she says, both of you, come up here. Sangyeon is like, come up here.
Okay, okay.
And as Sangyeon takes a large wooden stick and whacks you across your two palms with it in front of everybody. And this is back when corporal punishment in schools were still acceptable. So this just went down. What do you do?
In that moment?
Or that right thereafter, or sometime thereafter.
I can't feel my hand. Smack a bitch. What do you mean? You're supposed to be my friend. What do you mean? Does the little boy get his hands hit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he does too?
Yeah.
And then I tell him to hit her too.
All right, hit her back.
I've always been anti-hitting, even as a young child. Yeah.
Hit him back.
So hit back. You got to hit back. If you get hit, you hit back.
Yeah. Okay.
You're disrupting my day.
Oh.
I was dealing with this. And then you call me up here like I didn't have this. I had this. I'm in middle school. I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you need to make me walk up there and then, and it's in front of everybody. It's humiliating.
Disgraceful.
Yeah. Mm. I think hit her with both of my numb palms and then hit him and then he gets to hit her too. Because listen, a smack is nothing compared to the humiliation. Yeah. You know,
I know. I was like, whoa, this is rough. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. I like that answer. Okay.
Child violence. It's always advocate
up.
For it.
It's messed up. Yeah. Even children hitting children, it just shouldn't. Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones who should be hitting each other. You know, corporal punishment from an adult bad.
Yeah.
Like a societal, like you're learning social skills hitting.
Right.
Appropriate and necessary. Yeah. Okay. Also, because, Hunyun needs to learn, like, her power is arbitrary. Like, some bitch just gave her that. She doesn't inherently have it.
No.
Yeah, you think you got power? Pfft, now you don't. What is that, you know?
Yeah.
I just helped her. I just taught her lessons.
Hierarchy's not real. It's an illusion, everybody. All right, I love that. Okay, so let's say you're the same young lady. You're Eunjung again, all right? Okay. You're still in middle school. So, Sangyeon's older brother, the student high school, he's like, very good looking, all right?
Hottie.
All right? His name's Sang-hak. He's handsome and tall, gets good grades. He's really into photography. He wants to be a photographer one day. That's his dream in life.
Okay.
And you develop feelings for him, all right? And duh. And Sang-hyun's brother is really nice to you.
Yeah.
All right? So Sang-hyun, one day, asks you point blank. She's like, do you like my brother? What do you do?
Yes. Does he like me? Listen, I'm spicy, but I'm also desperate. Also, so sorry I hit you. Can you help me?
Can you hook a sister up?
I would tell her, I would tell her, for sure.
Brother's hot. I want him. Okay.
She already knows if she's asking.
Exactly. Anyways, it's like sensed it. You sensed it too?
Yeah.
There's so chemistry there.
Yeah.
It's real. We're going to be sisters. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So let's flip it a little bit. So you're now Sang-hyun, okay?
Okay.
You're the bitch who goes around hitting peers. You find out that your older brother, he's been writing letters to a girl he likes in his diary pretty regularly.
Okay.
And he wants to go to school for photography, but your parents won't allow it, okay? They are forcing him to go to military school instead. They're about to send him away.
It's like the opposite of photography.
Very much the opposite. Yeah. The night before he's supposed to leave for military school, he runs away. 3 days later, they find his dead body in the woods.
What?
What do you do?
What? Solve the murder, I guess. What do I do? Wait, I'm old at this point. How old am I again?
You're in middle school.
I'm in middle school.
By the way, it was a suicide.
Oh, okay.
Solve the murder.
Okay.
Turns out it was him.
Okay, well, I solved it pretty fast. I was given the answer.
He was the victim and the culprit.
And the culprit. Okay. He commits suicide.
Yeah.
I probably decide to set some pretty strong boundaries with my parents about what their expectations of me should be. And I would like go through his stuff and like read his letters and like try, not in like a shitty way, but like in a, I don't know, I think if you lose somebody, you should try to get in there and preserve that. Especially like if your parents are like not accepting of a sibling.
Yeah.
I think it's like your duty to like help interject and like preserve that to a degree and like be on your sibling side and do that. So I would try to like go get his letters, find that bitch he was writing letters to and be like, yep, I know he killed himself, but maybe don't tell her. Yeah, maybe you don't need to tell her if he loved her, you know. I was like, do I tell her that he wrote the letters? Depends on how good the letters were, you know. If they're embarrassing, gotta look out for my brother. I'm not gonna tell her.
Then it's a protection thing.
Protect, preserve the
dignity and reputation.
If they were not embarrassing though, maybe tell her.
I like that. By the way, are you a middle child or are you the youngest?
Technically I'm middle. I was basically raised as the younger though.
Okay.
Because my little brother's 12, but my mom had him when I was 18, so I was like, we were out of the house by then, so I'm the younger.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm the older one.
You're the older?
Okay. Okay, so let's say you're Eunjung again, all right? Okay. The protagonist. You are now in college. We have moved, time has moved on, right?
Okay.
You are now in college. You're a college chick. You join a photography club where you meet an older boy. And his name just so happens to be Sang-hak, the same name of the boy you used to have a crush on.
Killed himself.
Who killed himself, yeah. He has the same name as your high school crush who died. This boy also is into photography. Okay, so the coincidence is like, oh my God. Turns
and
out.
And he's hot. He's a hot.
And he's cute.
Yeah.
And turns out he likes you too. All right. So you didn't want to go on this like weekend retreat with the photography club people, but he like convinces you. He's like, no, please go. Like, I'm going to go. It's going to be so much fun. Like, let's go. All right. Yeah. So you're like, all right, fine. You get to the bus station. Everybody else is there, but he doesn't show up. What do you do?
Kill him. Oh my God. Did he kill himself again? Am I like the bad juju that gets these photography boys to kill themselves?
Okay. So murder is the answer. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going violence.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because what the hell, right?
No, but like genuinely, I'd be done with him. Unless he had a really good excuse.
Yeah.
But like, I need receipts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was upsetting.
Otherwise, we're done.
Yeah. Okay.
I already went through all this emotional labor.
Yeah.
Of dealing with the fact that you remind me of this former crush.
Yeah. With the same name. It's like uncanny.
Yeah.
How similar they are.
So you can't fuck with my brain any more than that. Like, you have a very limited fuck bandwidth now. You know? Like, you gotta get it together.
Okay. Good. Good. All right. Let's say you're now Sang-yeon. You're that.
Yes. I'm the sister.
The other chick.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Your life after your brother's death, pretty rough, okay?
Oh, no.
So he died of suicide shortly thereafter.
I thought I set boundaries with my parents.
Yeah, no. After your brother passed away, your father's business went kaput.
Oh, shit.
All right, so this ritzy-ass, bougie life, it's all gone out the window.
Oh,
all right?
No.
Father went bankrupt. Parents got a divorce.
Okay.
So you started working a bunch of part-time jobs in order to support yourself, all right?
Shit.
And there was a moment where you really wanted to just check out and die, all right? But then you opened up your brother's old laptop. Turns out he was like part of this group chat online during early internet days.
Okay.
And he was chatting with a group of avid photographers. Like, this was his little community of people. And one of the group members, like, none of them know that you're dead, by the way. One of them was very avidly just like trying to get back in touch with you, right?
Yeah.
So you and this dude, the person on the other end, you pretend to be
your
dead older brother, and you guys start talking, like chatting online, and you start to develop feelings for this guy, but you're still pretending to be your dead older brother.
And that guy's not gay.
Okay. Yeah.
Damn.
All right. So you save up your money, and now you're determined to go to college. You enroll in the school that this young man is attending.
Oh.
Yeah, it's deep.
I am doing a lot.
And you join a photography club that he is a part of.
Okay.
Because you want to pursue this person. And when you join the photography club, you see your childhood friend, Eunjung, dating
that guy.
What do you do?
And we haven't talked in a decade.
Mm-mm.
This is at that point. Mm-hmm. Now,
no, this is like, so you haven't talked in a decade because you like left town and moved very suddenly. It's not because
where I cut her off,
right?
Okay Well, I see my friend dating that guy. I would quit the club. You gotta let it happen.
Yeah.
And you also need to tell him that his friend is dead. Like, that part. Like, we're worrying about the wrong things.
Yeah.
Like, we're worrying about the romance. He thinks that you're, like, his friend is alive.
Yeah.
Your dead brother.
Yeah.
Okay, but, like, maybe, sorry, I'm giving, like, my moral for plot purposes. I'm going to break him up.
Oh.
Because, you know what? I am going to break him up because that bitch hit me. I was trying to do my job. I was given power.
No. You're getting confused.
Oh, no?
You hit her.
I hit her?
Yeah.
With the thing.
Yeah.
But then, remember, I hit her back.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. We're
I was doing what I was Reagan supposed was, to
yeah,
do.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Because she was being disruptive.
Yeah.
So in my little universe that I've created, now I'm going to break that bitch up. Fuck her, you know? Like, what is she? Who is she even?
Yeah.
I've gotten way more plot so
you
far than she has.
Deeper history.
Yes.
Than
she doesn't them have
two.
Dead brother.
Mm-mm.
She's dead crush. Maybe I'm going to kill her crush. There we go.
All right. Okay. All right. Murder again. All right. Good. All right. Murder again. This is great. All right. So let's say yours, Hanyeon. Okay. You find out the truth behind why your older brother died. Okay. There's more.
Okay.
The diary he kept with all the letters written to a woman who wasn't. The diary he kept with letters he was writing to a woman. Turns out it was not a woman.
Okay.
Turns out it was himself, but his trans identity.
Oh.
Turns out your older brother was actually your older sister.
Oh.
She was closeted trans.
This woman. TV show is doing a lot. Okay. Sorry.
And the parents saw these letters and rejected
her
for her transness, and out of the transphobia forced her to go to military school,
right,
which she didn't want to do.
No.
And that's what ultimately led to her demise. And you find out this truth very suddenly. What do you do?
Kill my parents. Like, this is like a little bit their fault, you know? They like hurt my sister. I think wait, but like CD style,
mm-hmm.
pretend to be my trans sister,
mm-hmm.
make guy fall in love with me, leave behind his girlfriend.
Oh yeah, make it crazier.
Crazy.
All right, it's like you're not crazy
and
enough.
And kill my parents.
Yeah,
just
and add more blood. Okay.
We're murdering. Yeah, we're murdering.
It's fun. We like it. All right. Yeah. Let's say now you're Eunjung. You are back to the nice young lady. Okay.
Right.
You call your boyfriend because you need him for something very urgently.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't pick up.
Dick.
He doesn't pick up all night. Doesn't pick up.
Oh,
and he doesn't respond to any of your texts. You later find out he was with Sangyeon, your bestie.
Mm-hmm.
He was comforting her while she was processing this grief over this new discovery regarding her brother/sister.
Right.
Now, you feel rejected because he and your best friend were out figuring out the truth about somebody that was also part of
your
life at one point. What do you do?
The slaughter must continue. No, you know what I would do? I would create my own urgent fake dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I would, my mom died.
Yeah.
I need you here now.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's mine. I come up higher on the priority list.
Death.
Dead mom.
Your brother's been dead.
Being trans isn't a big deal. It's, mom dying is a huge deal.
This lady birthed me.
Yes.
And she's dead.
Yes.
You need to be here.
Right now. Okay. It's a lie. She's around the corner.
And then he shows up and you kill him.
And then I kill him. With my mother.
With your mother there with you. All right. Let's say now you're Sangyeon. Okay. You're
the rich bitch.
Former rich bitch. Yeah. You find out that Eunjung, the girl, your bestie, she dumped Sanghak, okay, after that night.
Okay.
You also find out that your mother is terminally ill. You also find out that Eunjung, who you've been living with, you guys have been roommates, she is now moving back to her mother's house, right? Okay. Everything you knew is now falling apart all around you. What do you do?
Oh, I steal that man. I steal that man. 100%.
I
steal
the prize.
Yeah. I'm losing my mom. I get to steal that man.
Okay, yeah.
I already lost my sister. I get to steal that man.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom's terminally ill.
Yeah. Cancer.
That's what you get for being mean to your trans daughter.
You had it coming.
Yeah, she had it coming.
Okay, all right. Let's say now you're Eunjung, okay? We're back to the nice girl. You are now in your early 30s, okay?
Okay, now the decade has passed.
Decade has passed. Okay. No, so... The first point was when they were in their 40s. Right now,
we're in the 30s.
We're in the 30s.
Okay.
You're in your 30s. You're working as a film producer.
Mm.
All right. You've been developing a film with this particular indie director for a very long time. He's about to make his big break at your company. You're very excited for him.
I love it.
But at the last minute, your production company decides to go with a different director. They dump this guy.
Oh, shit.
And when you walk into the production meeting, that new director they hired is sitting there next to his producer, who is your former friend, Sangyeon. who you haven't seen in 10 years. What do you do?
Do I know she took my man? Maybe I don't know. I mean,
yeah, you guys broke up. So you don't know anything.
I don't
know
anything.
Everybody lost touch. Yeah.
I'm probably excited to see her. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Mm.
How are you doing with all of your trauma? Like, she, like, I don't, maybe I don't love her, you know, but like, she has, I probably know she's been going through some stuff. So I'm not going to be like super mean at this point.
Yeah.
I'm going to see what she does. But wait, she like fucked over my friend to get this job? Is that what just kind of happened?
Yeah.
Once a bitch, always a bitch.
Yeah.
I say that to her face and then I just do my job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're gonna set your boundaries and be pretty firm this time
around.
Yeah.
Okay. She's been shady this whole time. Yeah.
She has. She hit you when you were children.
Yeah.
You know, she. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's say you're the same lady. You are on this production set, on a new set.
Okay.
And you have to co-produce with your ex-bestie.
Right.
All right. You guys are working together.
Yeah.
The cinematographer they hire turns out to be your college ex-boyfriend.
Mm.
Yeah. And your ex-bestie still likes him. And she comes to you and says, I know he likes you again. Please don't date him.
I date the fuck out of him. I pull down his pants right then and there and suck him off in front of her. Yeah, no, 1,000%. I'm sorry. I didn't grow up rich, so this is what I have. Maybe bad things wouldn't happen to you if you weren't such a bitch all the time.
All right, I love that answer. All right, all right.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Okay. So... you're Eunjung again, okay? You're that young
staying
lady.
With the nice lady.
Staying with the nice lady. All right, you find out that there was another film because your production company dumped that indie director.
Yeah.
You feel terrible, so you agreed with this guy. You're like, we're definitely going to make this next movie together. You guys have been developing it for a year. One day, he stops picking up your phone calls.
My boyfriend?
Right? No.
The indie director.
The indie director. And, your ex-bestie leaves the production company.
That bitch is fucking him.
She stole the treatment and the script and all the production stuff.
What?
And opens up her own production company with this director that you were very excited to work with and steals your script. What do you do?
Arson. I burn it down. I burn her building down. Yeah. Now, yeah, But she doesn't know what she's doing, I don't think.
She's pretty good at her job.
She's pretty good. Fuck. Yeah, arson. And then I suck off my boyfriend in front of her again.
You just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last question.
You know what I do? I take a little rod and I smack her balls. Quit acting up, bitch.
You need an ass whooping.
You need a discipline way before you got it.
You really need your ass whooped.
Truly.
Okay. All right.
Because God's whooping your ass and it doesn't seem to be sticking. You know?
Like you're not getting the message.
The universe is throwing you some hard balls and
getting it. All right. Last question. Mm-hmm. You're still the nice girl. All right. Now 10 years have passed.
Okay.
Since that
We're
day. We're 40s now.
Okay.
10 years have passed. Your friend, your ex bestie's Hanyeon shows up and she says she wants to be friends again because she is dying of cancer and she has 3 months left to live and she's going to Switzerland to get the assisted suicide treatment and asks you to come with her as her companion. What do you do? Again, this is a woman who betrayed you.
Yeah.
She stole your script. Tried to steal your man many times and now she has full-blown cancer.
No, I'd be the bigger person.
Mm.
I let her back into my life. I go with her to Switzerland and then right when they inject her with the shit, I suck him off in front of her. That's the last thing she leaves this earth thinking about.
Enjoy the show.
And then I watch her die.
Great answer.
Awesome.
Reagan, thank you.
Thank you, Grace.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, truly.
Appreciate you.
Sorry we ended with so much bloodshed.